Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Let me wish you all a happy new year. Hard to believe we made it this far after last year. It's anybody's guess what we're in for this year. You know, it's you think back a year, and if we would have made guesses about what 2020 was going to be like, I think we can safely say everybody would have been wrong. This is just, it's been a year for the history books, and I wish I could optimistically say 2021 is going to be better, but after last year, I'm not going to go out on that limb, but any rate, I hope you'll stick with us here tonight, and we've got a special guest in the studio we'll get to in just a minute here, but I do want to remind you that you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and we'd love to hear from you tonight as well, but because of our special guest, we're not going to get to our phone calls until the second half of the program here this evening, so if you're already calling in, I hope you'll wait for us, and we'll pick up some things right there. Also, reminder, as I said, find us online, livewithpastoral.com. Link to some of our social media there, and I am in the process of getting our YouTube stream going here, and I believe we are now live on YouTube as well, and we'll get that shared over to some of our social media, and eventually, one day, maybe when we're big and we're on 50 million stations and talking to a billion people every Sunday night, we'll have a couple people in here who can do all this. But in the meanwhile, I try to sort all this out. I'm getting heckled already. We haven't even got started. But I hope you were able to be with us last week, and I sure appreciate everybody that joined in last week with our contest. We gave out some booklets, and I was able to get those out in the mail this past week. But, of course, the way the U.S. Postal Service is going, hope that you'll get it by New Year's next year. No, I think you'll get it pretty soon. So, we'll be doing some more things perhaps like that in the coming year. We're going to try and do a few more things like that. So right now, though, I'm glad you're here with us, and I hope you'll stick with us, and let's open our program here this evening with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air. Bless our program tonight. Help us to be a blessing and encouragement to somebody tonight. Help us to, not to just talk about things to upset people, scare people, or make people overly anxious, but Lord, that we can encourage people and help people to be able to see and be aware of what's happening in the world around us, that we can encourage people to look to you for guidance and direction. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you, as I said. And also, if you go to our website, livewithpastoral.com, you can link to our home church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can find us all that right there, and as well, as I said, as well as our social media. All right, and let me just get one thing shared over here as soon as my computer wants to cooperate. And of course, yeah, I thought I was all set, and it doesn't. That's what happens on live radio. I'll fill that in here in a minute, hopefully. But do want to let you know I have a special guest in the studio, Michael Goldstein. He's been with us before, and he wears a lot of hats. He's an attorney here in Ohio, which is one of the reasons I wanted him on tonight. Not that I particularly need an attorney right now, but
you will before the program is over.
Before the program is over, we all might. But he is an attorney, and he is also the general counsel and state of Ohio director for proclaiming justice to the nations. And I'm in a minute going to ask him to let you know a little bit about that real quick as well. He's a past president, and this is another reason that I wanted him on with us tonight. Past president, Association of Former Intelligence Officers, Northern Ohio chapter, and 30 years in the U.S. Navy and 30 years in the U.S. intelligence community. Now, I had my little bit of time in the United States Air Force in the intelligence community, but not 30 years. I didn't get near as many years, just enough to open my eyes, I think, and to get me in trouble. So, I like the background that gives you to help sometimes to be able to see through and understand some of the things that are happening in the world around us. And that's essentially what we're doing, is we're looking at what's happening and trying to make sense of all of that. But Michael Goldstein, welcome to the program today.
Well, thank you, Pastor Al. It's really nice to be here with you again. I always appreciate it and enjoy the lively conversation when you and I can fail to talk about all the things we did in the service because we're not allowed to talk about them.
Well, I know. We don't want to shoot everybody, so. But something else that I failed to mention, too, when we were getting in here, I want to point out that your wife, Beverly Goldstein, actually ran for Congress.
Twice.
Twice for the U.S. 11th House District here in Ohio. Yeah.
And Ohio District 11.
So you've been involved in not just the things that we've mentioned, but also in Republican politics, conservative issues, and different things of that nature. And I'll let you share as you want with that. But I did want you to give a little background real quick, even though it's not our main topic, proclaiming justice to the nations.
Yes, proclaiming justice to the nations is a Christian organization headquartered in Nashville, Tennessee, and we have some state chapters around the United States, a chapter in Australia, another one in South Africa, and probably we're going to be opening up a couple more chapters in Africa with Black Africans. Proclaiming Justice of the Nations is at PJT, as in Tom, PJTN.org, and you can go look at our website. It's our mission statement is to educate Christians on their biblical responsibility to protect and defend Israel and the Jewish people, especially in these times of rising anti-Semitism. But I do have to, and I also did, Pastor Al didn't say, I don't think you said I was in the service for 30 years, did you?
U.S. No. Navy for 30 years, yeah, and 30 years in the U.S. intelligence community.
Yeah, so yeah. So I have to give a disclaimer. What I'm going to be talking about tonight with Pastor Allen, with all of you, is not necessarily the opinion of Proclaiming Justice to the Nations. I'm not appearing here as their representative tonight, or of the U.S. Navy, or of the U.S. intelligence community, or of any other organizations with which I have been or are now affiliated. It's my own opinion that I'm going to be talking about based on my own study, my own reading, my own analysis.
Well, and likewise for me, I mean, I certainly don't speak for the Air Force or the intelligence community. I'm not sure sometimes who I speak for, but I do have an opportunity, and I'm really thankful the Lord has given us the opportunity to have this program and to be able to share some information. And I think one of the purposes that I want to talk about here tonight is we are looking at what has the potential, maybe that's the way to phrase it, what has the potential of being one of the most historic moments in our listeners' lifetimes, or it could just be nothing.
Well, it has the potential of being just as significant as 1774, 75, and 76, or 1787 when the Constitution was ratified then in the following year by the states, and as significant as the 1860s and the Civil War, because I think a lot, what our republic is going to look like could be significantly different depending upon what happens here in January.
Now, we've been talking about this on the program in the past, and for our listeners that might not be as aware of what's happening, and we get new listeners in all as well that might not have heard us talking about this, what is happening this Wednesday that is so significant or has the potential for being one of the most significant days in our recent history?
Well, I think we need to back up and talk a little bit about the Electoral College and what is happening, because the Electoral College votes, I do that almost every day, the votes are going to be counted officially in a joint session of Congress in Washington. And the president of the Senate, who is Vice President of the United States, Mike Pence, will be reading and tabulating and perhaps perhaps announcing the tally to determine who the president of the United States is going to be after this election.
Now let me interrupt there a second and ask the question as if I don't know anything that's going on. Didn't we vote back in early November for the president? Isn't that taken care of?
No, it's okay. Not.
So we have what?
Well, the U.S. Constitution tasks the state legislatures for electing the president of the United States. And all the states have chosen to do that by a popular election where everybody in the state gets a vote, allegedly one vote, and allegedly all those votes are tabulated properly. But what happens is the state legislatures are required to select electors to be a part of the Electoral College. And it's the electors who actually cast their votes for President of the United States. Now, up until now, that's almost always been done by them following the popular vote of the people in their state. But it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. When an election is challenged, like a lot of these elections have been in the battleground states, and Pastor Al, why don't you tell us what those battleground states are?
See, he's putting me on the spot tonight, but Arizona.
Each one's worth $20.
Yeah, I got 20. Okay, we're keeping score. Arizona, I got that twice. Pennsylvania.
That's the problem.
Michigan.
You did it twice.
Well, they did too, I think. They actually did more than twice.
Okay,
We got Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, Nevada. What am I up to? I think I got six.
That's five.
All right, I got five. Wisconsin. I said Wisconsin, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. All right, six. There have been a lot of challenges to the elections in those states, a lot of allegations of fraud. And if anybody has been watching the news other than the mainstream media, they will have seen hearings, public hearings done by various committees in state legislatures in those states, taking evidence about all the fraud that was committed, or as much fraud as could be put together in the month since the election, 2 months, I guess, since the election. And there's a lot more going on than that. If you only watch and listen to the mainstream media, you wouldn't think anything is happening at all.
Right.
But you can watch a lot of it. It's posted live at Epoch, E-P-O-C-H, Epoch Times, online. You should get the app and download it. A lot of it is on Newsmax TV.
Mm-hmm.
We have that on DirecTV at channel 349, and on channel 347, and your own cable provider will have to give you have to look up where it is One American News,
right,
which has been carrying a lot of the hearings live. And when you listen and see the people testifying, a lot of these people who've given sworn affidavits under penalty of perjury about the way this election has allegedly been stolen by the Democratic Party, there is called into question whether the electors who've been appointed by the states, if they've been appointed as Joe Biden electors, the Republicans in those states, many of them have put up alternate electors who would vote for President Trump to be reelected. So in some cases, the vice president, as president of the Senate, will have two competing envelopes of electoral votes from each of these states. And there are a lot of different scenarios that could happen. At the end of that hearing on January 6th, we could have a president who is named. We might have a president. We may not have a president that's named yet. What can happen is, there are a lot of scenarios, but one of them is that if there are objections, assuming that the vice president, the president of the Senate, Pence, does count the electoral votes of one side or the other, Democrat or Republican, if there are objections from at least one member of the House of Representatives and one senator, then that becomes contested. If that mm-hmm. happens, this is held in the House chamber because there's right. a lot more room than the Senate. Then the senators head back to their chamber, and in each House, there's 2 hours given over to debate. And then there's a vote taken about what the sense of the House is and what the sense of the Senate is. And if the House and the Senate both agree on one set of electors, then allegedly, possibly, the president of the Senate has to declare that person to be the president. But if they don't agree, it could be put into the actual, it could go to a different process where they could wind up with it put into the House of Representatives for a vote. And when it goes to the House of Representatives under that scenario, it doesn't matter who has the majority of members of the House of Representatives, because in that case, each state delegation gets one vote. And because there are more Republican states than Democratic states, probably President Trump would continue for a second term. But there is another scenario that could happen. And there was a wonderful article in American Thinker online, americanthinker.com, I believe, not .org, which is a publication that I occasionally write for also. And if you want to look up my stuff, go to americanthinker.com, go to the archives, and look for my name, because it's very strange that the archives is set up so you search for names, first name first, then middle initial, then last name. But it's Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, middle initial S as in Stephen, and then Goldstein, G-O-L-D-S-T-E-I-N. If I don't bore you so much tonight you don't want to do that, then don't bother going. But you can look up my previous articles there. But anyway, this there was a writer in American Thinker the day after Christmas, Ted Noel, N-O-E-L, and he believes that Vice President Pence has the alternative to do something quite different. In the first place, under the Constitution, Article 2, Section 1, which talks about elections, and under the 12th Amendment to the Constitution, he believes the Vice President has plenary power, which means the ultimate, uncontestable, unappealable authority to do whatever he deems appropriate with those votes. And he could do this, according to the article, which seems plausible. Remember that state elections, the elections are done in the states, and each state legislature determines how their elections will take place. What we have seen from the evidence is that although the state legislatures have done this, have set up their own laws to do this, other parties within the states, such as the attorneys general or the governors or the courts of the state, have changed the rules, and some of them changed them very shortly before the election itself in ways that the legislature did not contemplate.
Now, let me interject a question here, because we've been told by the media that there's nothing here. The courts have looked at this and found that there's nothing.
Well, the problem is the courts have not found that there is nothing, or they did not find that there is something. There are two processes when you get into court. First of all, the plaintiff sues, the defendant is defending, and the plaintiff says, I'm suing them for this, in this case, I'm suing to throw out the Pennsylvania votes, for instance. The defendant comes in and says that the plaintiff does not have standing to bring this lawsuit. And the judge determines whether the plaintiff has standing. And if he doesn't have standing, if that's what the court determines, they dismiss the lawsuit. And in almost every case, some of them haven't completely gone through the court system yet, but in every case that has, all the courts have ruled against the president. Whoever the plaintiff was, whether it was the president's campaign or the attorney general of Texas who sued someplace, and they determined there's no standing. So what this means is no court has officially seen the evidence of the voter fraud. They have not seen the evidence. Now, many of these state legislatures houses and senates have, they have committees of concerned with elections, concerned with voting. These committees have held public hearings, which we've seen on Epic, as I said, the stations that I talked about. The mainstream media won't cover it, but if you can get them on YouTube, and you should find them. You could get them on Epic Times. So you will see, and it's just sickening to see how the election appears to have been stolen. What has been going on with fraudulent votes, machines that flip Trump votes to Biden, machines that they say they swear, the manufacturers swear, are not hooked up to the internet, are hooked up to the internet. Votes are counted in European countries. It looks like there's a lot of influence from the Chinese Communist Party. And this looks like very much, and in my own opinion, my sole opinion, was a stolen election, stolen by the Democratic Party. There were crazy, for instance, in Georgia, they were counting the votes, and then somebody found that there was a water main break, and they kicked everybody out of the arena where the votes were being counted. And it turns out it was a leaky toilet, by the way. There was no emergency, but the press left, the media left, and all the poll observers from the Republican Party were told to leave. But four or five people stayed behind, and it's only because it was a public, a privately owned basketball arena, sports venue. Turns out the owner of the arena had video cameras going. So what we saw was people staying behind, pulling boxes, suitcases of ballots out from under a skirted table and counting all these phony ballots. And sometimes they would run them through the scanning machine four or five different times. So if you look at the graph of the Biden votes, they spiked early in the wee hours of the morning. So Trump went to sleep with a comfortable lead, and he woke up and he was losing. But it's just horrible to watch this fraud. And there was lots of different kinds of fraud. Republican observers were not allowed to observe. If they complained, they were booted out of the arena. There was a woman who was testifying in Georgia. She called 911. She asked the police to come. The Democratic mayor had said the police will not respond. This is a political thing. The police won't respond. There was no satisfaction. So this article in American Thinker on December 26th by Ted Noel, he posits that Vice President Pence, when all the envelopes with the Electoral College votes are placed before him, so for the state of Georgia, for instance, there is a set of Democratic votes and a set of Republican votes, and he's supposed to open one or the other. But he can say that it's the state legislatures who are charged by the U.S. Constitution with running this election. And they have plenary power. The state legislatures have the power to run the election any way they want to do. And he can say that the state legislature's laws were violated by the changing rules, changed by governors, changed by attorneys general, changed by county voting, county election boards. And they've been changed so much that there was no valid election for President of the United States. And in that case, what Vice President Pence, as President of the Senate, could do is say, because there was no valid election under state law, I'm not going to open the Democratic electors' envelope, and I'm not going to open the Republican Electoral College votes. And there are no valid votes from the state of Georgia. So we're going to take those votes away from whoever won them, allegedly, on November 3rd, and they're going to be gone. And he would run through the complete analysis of the voting fraud as he found it in that state. If he did this for all six of the contested states, the magic number of 270 votes won't matter because there aren't that many votes.
Right. Okay. It won't be the half anymore.
So what the Constitution says, that the candidate who wins the majority of the electoral votes is elected. And if all of those states contested battleground states, electoral college votes are eliminated, President Trump would win by 10 electoral votes. He would have the majority by 10.
So does that
and
mean
at that,
that
point, at that point, I believe the vice president, this president of the Senate, Mike Pence, can say, that's it. He's elected.
Right.
Now the precedent is Thomas Jefferson, who was vice president running for president. Mm-hmm. And as vice president, he was president of the Senate. And even though there were election irregularities in his favor in Georgia, he counted those votes and voted himself to be president.
Mm-hmm.
And he
was. And he became president.
He became president.
Now, I have to ask you, does this mean that Joe Biden will have to get rid of his fancy studio that says the office of the president-elect?
It's only a backdrop. And it might be just electronic.
Well, that might be all that it is. Yeah. And so... And I know we're coming up on the break here in a little bit, and as we're thinking about what's happening and this possibility of Vice President Pence throwing out essentially these votes where there's such a preponderance of irregularities and even evidence of influence, Chinese influence and other influence and manipulation of the vote, and then declares that President Trump is now the official president-elect, because there is no president-elect really officially right now until Wednesday, then that, of course, is going to have ramifications, won't it?
Yes, and ramifications. People will be furious saying the Republicans stole the election that we already stole before they did. And there could be blood in the streets. I mean, it can be terrible. There can be rioting. There can be violence if that happens.
Well, look what happened
this past summer. Biden declared the winner. I don't know that the conservatives are going to go out and riot. Doesn't seem likely.
No. And, we're going to take a break here in just a few minutes. I think we got it, about 2 minutes? 3 minutes before the break, and we'll come back after that. We might get some of our phones calls on the air as well. And we're also going to talk about that, some of the potential and what we ought to be aware of, because, you know, we may, you know, talk about and speculate and even laugh about a few things as we talk about this. But it is a serious matter, because we are talking about the fate of our country here, not only for us, but for our children. And our children's children. And we're looking at the direction this country is going, and under President Trump, and if he gets 4 more years, clearly we're going into a more constitutional, nationalist American first sort of a direction. We look at the tremendous economic growth and the tremendous growth in the job market and how unemployment soared to record lows or sunk to record lows. How would we say that?
Unemployment soared.
Yeah.
To record highs, I guess.
Well,
employment.
Employment soared to record highs,
yeah,
and unemployment went to record lows in the minority communities and such. And what we look at, where the economy was a year ago, and just absolutely stunning, stunning changes over the Biden years. And if President Trump gets 4 more years, we can see where this could continue in that direction. But obviously, if Trump gets 4 more years, if Biden gets in for 4 years, it's going to reverse that. And we're going to see unemployment surging up again and employment dropping. We're going to see the economic indicators going down. We're also going to see the United States being ushered into this Great Reset program. We're not going to get into that today. We've talked about that before. We'll be talking about it again. It's going to be the end of the America First agenda, and we're going to be taking a decided socialist communistic bent. And so we got about a minute left. Thoughts or speculations before we go into the break?
Well, sure. We can talk about foreign policy. Just for a minute.
Look at Israel.
Look at Gates, who was the Secretary of Defense under Republican administration and under the Obama administration, who said in his book that the entire time he's been in politics, Joe Biden, whenever he had to deal with a foreign policy issue, got it completely wrong. Every
mm-hmm.
time.
Every time,
what,
yes.
40 years or something? He never got it right
years.
Once.
Never got it right
and
once.
And if we're looking forward to that kind of foreign policy, we're in big trouble.
And look at the tremendous successes that we've seen under President Trump in the last few years, despite the deep state working against him every step of the way. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We're going to take a short break. We're going to be back in just a few moments. I hope you'll stick with us here this evening. And don't go away. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. All right, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and we are talking with Michael Goldstein in the studio here this evening. We are talking about Wednesday, January 6th. And some people are wondering, well, what is that? What's special about that day? That's the day that the Electoral College votes will be opened and certified by Vice President Pence, who serves as the President of the Senate. And in his constitutional role, he will be opening them at a joint session of the House and the Senate on Wednesday, January 6th. And they will be counting the electoral ballots. And then, and only then, maybe, I have to put that maybe in here the way things have been going, we will know who the president-elect really is. Joe Biden can call himself president-elect right now all he wants to, but he technically is not, is he?
No.
No, not until the...
He's president-elect after the Electoral College votes.
Right, and that's not...
Determined that he's the president.
Yeah, and that's not to the 6th. Now, the Electoral College, they met back in earlier this month, or in the middle of December, and they transmitted those ballots, but part of the problem is some states, Arizona and other states, transmitted two slates of electors. And Vice President Pence is going to have to make that decision as he's there, which slate to accept or possibly
none at all.
accept any at all. And Michael Goldstein, who is an attorney, and he is also, I'll just run through this real quick here, and for those who are just joining us, he's also special counsel and State of Ohio Director for Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, past president of the Northern Ohio chapter of the Association of Former Intelligence Officers, spent 30 years in the United States Navy and 30 years as a U.S. intelligence community, and so he's got some particular insights. But of course, you're here as a private individual, aren't you?
Absolutely, and the disclaimers I made in the first part of the program still stand.
So you're
these
speaking,
are my own opinions, yes, not opinions of any organization I'm affiliated
and,
with.
And likewise, what I'm talking about, these are my opinions as well. And neither you nor I are being paid to be here to talk about these things. We're just sharing our opinions, looking at what could happen. I don't hear you saying this is what will happen.
No.
I don't think anybody
can
say that.
I can't get into Mike Pence's head.
That's where it comes down to, doesn't it?
It does. He will do his duty as he sees it. He, like all of us, have taken an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. Although I've been reading that in some places, people are now being required to swear an oath to the government. I can't even believe that.
That's just.
But Mike Pence doesn't believe that. He will do what he believes is constitutionally correct.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what I think is constitutionally correct. And the Constitution isn't perfectly clear in some areas on this.
Right. Well, I was going to share, I believe that Lieutenant General Thomas, I always get his name wrong.
McInerney.
I don't know why. McInerney.
Yes.
He said on a
He's
program
Force,
I listened
I believe,
to. Yeah.
Retired.
Retired, yes. Yeah. He said on a program, and again, his opinion, but he echoed what you were saying in the last half hour, that Vice President Pence will look at these conflicting slates of electors. He'll look at fraud, the manipulation, and the corruption of the vote and the voting process, and he'll state that because of this, we cannot accept either slate of electors, and he's just going to eliminate the electors of those probably six states or so, and that will achieve essentially the result of President Trump winning by 10 electoral votes. In which case, he will be, in addition to the current president, he will also be the president-elect, and according to the Constitution, he will be scheduled to take the oath of office at noon, or by noon, on January the 20th. Now, again, we're talking about what we believe is going to happen, and the other thing that makes this interesting, President Trump, either he's completely out of touch with reality, or he's got some plans going on, because there's been a series of meetings at the White House, and this is all open source. You can find this online. You can go to a variety of websites. You had mentioned American Thinker and Epoch Times. You can also go, I think Newsmax has had some, redstate.com. There's a number of sites.
One American News.
Yeah. On Wednesday, I'm going to be watching Right Side Broadcast. RSBN, I think it was RSBNetwork.com, I think is what it is, RSB, but it's Right Side Broadcasting Network. You can search for them, you'll find them, and they're going to be covering these events live as they take place, and I've been enjoying watching their coverage of various things.
Probably going to be on C-SPAN, too.
Yeah, I like the more conservative bent of the Right Side Broadcasting, and they're a little fresher.
Am I surprised, if that's your preference.
Yes, and they're a little more fresher in terms of their outlook and everything, and they're a little more energetic than CNN.
There's something else here to look at. As we said in the first half, the courts have been dismissing all of these lawsuits mm-hmm. about the election without ever making a determination on the merits. They've never heard the merits of the cases.
Right.
Vice President Pence is in a unique position. He could have looked at all whatever affidavits the president's mm-hmm. President's attorneys collected. He could have read these affidavits about voter fraud. He could have watched many of these state legislature committee meetings where they took evidence of the voter fraud. And so he could take notice of that. He's in that unique position where he's the head guy who's considered the evidence of voter fraud. Nobody else has.
Right.
And he may decide that it's so severe mm-hmm. that the election was being stolen and he won't count those electoral votes.
And that's kind of what General McInerney was saying, is that he's been fully briefed on these things. He has been shown all of this evidence. And
I'm confused. McInerney or the vice president?
McInerney was saying that the vice president has been briefed on these things. I'm sorry. Yeah, thanks for clarifying that. That the vice president has been briefed on these things. And, of course, President Trump has been saying that come Wednesday, they're going to release this information so that the American public will see what the courts have refused to see, what CNN and the major media has refused to report on, and what Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and things like that have blacked out and masked so that people can't see it, because we're in the midst of a campaign. We're familiar with that, social media blocking conservative content and things like that. And so much of this stuff has just been completely, you mentioned the voters or the votes that were under the table in Georgia. And I had posted that back when that occurred on my Facebook page. Facebook put a thing on it saying this was misleading.
It's disputed.
We don't know that they were suitcases.
But I'll be very interested to learn how the president thinks he's going to get that message out.
Well,
if the mainstream media won't carry it, if it's going to be censored off of us of social media, is he going to use the emergency broadcast system? I don't know.
He rang my phone once earlier this year, along with everybody else, my cell phone. But, you know, there are things that are going on. It's just like when there's a State of the Union address or a joint address to Congress or something, where the media does carry that, and it's kind of hard to ignore some of those things. And plus, with some of the more conservative media sites that are up there, and this is one of the reasons why he's calling for patriots from all over the country to show up in Washington, D.C., so this information will be disseminated. Back before Twitter started severely restricting his Twitter account, remember, he was reaching with any given tweet far more than CNN and all these other places combined were reaching. And so it's been kind of amazing to see what has been happening here of late. And so as we look at this and we think about what's happening, you know, the mainstream media and the people leaning to the left, I have people that dog me on Facebook and things like that, that they think that there's nothing out there that's threatening Joe Biden from becoming president, that he legitimately won, there's no voter fraud because the courts haven't found for the president on anything, so there's no voter fraud. It's all a clean election. Joe Biden is as pure as the driven snow. And, of course, his son Hunter never did anything wrong in his life. He only tried to help people and things like that, you know, yada, yada, yada. But the point of the matter is, though, if Vice President Pence stands up in his position, his official constitutional position on Wednesday, January 6th, and he counts the ballots, and the end result is President Trump has 4 more years, there's going to be violence in the streets, don't you think?
Yes, I'm sure there will be.
BLM, Antifa, you know, waiting in the wings. I would not want to be in the major American city urban centers in the days immediately after that. Just speculation.
And you won't be.
I won't be. Yes, I don't have to be. I don't unless I have to be. But, I think common sense things. You know, we're in northeastern Ohio. Last couple of weeks, we've had, you know, some horrendous snowstorms. So just a week ago, we were digging out from a foot or more of snow right here where we're sitting in the studio. And people remember that. And so we know here in northeastern Ohio that we can get snowed in at any time, especially if you live out further in the snow belt. And so common sense things I think would make would be of order, don't you? Making some preparation if you have some extra food and water on hand, things of that nature. Be prepared that you don't have to leave your house for a week if something should be going on, so that you don't have to put yourself in danger.
Well, then the governor will love you if you just stay home.
Well, the governor will get his wish. Wait a minute, you're not saying he's behind the... No, we won't go there. But
No. I'm not talking about the election.
No, I was talking about the violence. But as a consequence, you know, it is prudent to be aware, to stay safe, right? Just, for instance, in the wintertime, it's just the way I grew up, and I grew up here in northeastern Ohio. I went to college in Colorado, and I keep blankets in the car. I got extra gloves and warm socks in the car, because if I should ever get stuck and I have to unstick myself, and my gloves get wet, my socks, my feet get wet, you know, I want something dry that I can put on. It's going to be a little better than some sopping wet socks and gloves and a blanket that I can wrap up in if I'm stuck in my car. That's common sense. Common sense. And it amazes me how many people have no more than a day or two supply of food in their house at any given time. I grew up on a small farm. I wasn't raised that way. You know, my mom canned stuff all the time. We had a big garden, you know, and we stored stuff. We had a fruit cellar, and we had stuff in the freezer, and we had stuff in the pantry, you know, we stored stuff. And my wife, her mom and dad both grew up on farms down in Kentucky, and that same thing, you stored, and that's how you provided for your family in the wintertime.
Well, as you remember, when we were growing up, the only fresh fruits and vegetables were local.
Yes.
And in the winter,
it was canned.
Apples, maybe.
Yeah, you got apples because they could store them.
You could buy
and, of course, oranges
and
from Florida.
Or frozen spinach.
Yeah. Well, we had oranges. We had oranges from Florida. Remember Lawson's, the Big O? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember
the
Lawson's.
Fresh orange juice in 48 hours.
But that was very unusual.
But yeah, that remember the whole thing. They made a whole commercial out of how they could get the orange juice from Florida up here to northeastern Ohio in such a short amount of time to where we could enjoy it, because you know the transportation now, the fact that you can eat so many fruits and vegetables year round, we're spoiled. We really are.
I mean, I remember the first time I saw an avocado. I was in the Navy and I got stationed. I grew up in northern Ohio. All of a sudden I'm in Monterey, California, where they have avocados.
Mm-hmm.
They had never been shipped east, at least to my knowledge, when I was a child. My parents never had them. I didn't know what they were when I saw them.
I can remember the first time seeing kiwis in the store.
Sure. Yes.
And now we take these things for granted. We get upset if they're not there.
Yeah,
and,
well, if we have an insurrection,
the
supply may be interrupted.
Yeah, and I know we've been talking a lot here about what might happen, and I do apologize. We've had some people that were wanting to come on. But I really did want to get some of this information out. And Michael, I want to thank you for being on with me today. We still have a number of minutes yet to go.
I want to say something else. Mm-hmm. In my wife's political campaigning, a lot of it was in the inner city. We spent 3.5 years there. I appeared on platforms when we had an issue in common with Black Lives Matter. By the way, there are two different chapters, one Cleveland, one Cuyahoga County. One is more militant than the other. But when your issue is prisoners dying in the county jail under a Democratic administration that isn't administering it properly, or kids dying under the jurisdiction of child services from the county, I could find myself speaking from the same protesting platform as Black Lives Matter. Now, haven't done that lately because our issues are completely different.
Mm-hmm.
But I know the people. I know some of the leaders. And when they're not being directed from the outside, they're trying to fix their neighborhoods. But that doesn't mean that we could work with them now, because they've been destroying the cities, they and Antifa, both, by the way, left-wing organizations. If somebody tries to tell you that Antifa, A, doesn't exist, or if they admit it exists, that it's a right-wing organization, just keep laughing at them.
Right. And so as we go into this week, I don't want people to be afraid. I want people to be involved. I want people to be aware. And certainly one of the things that we've been saying on our program is to pray for our country.
I was going to mention that.
Pray for our country. Pray for our president. But Vice President Pence is something that everybody should be holding him up in prayer on Wednesday, because so much is going to come upon that man's head in terms of the pressure as he stands there. And then if he does what I believe to be, and this, in my opinion, I believe to be his constitutional duty, and to eliminate those states where the election is just completely corrupted. And President Trump is awarded 4 more years as president-elect, and Biden is declared the loser. The pressure that that man is going to come under from the liberal press, and the threats that he's going to... Now, we know that men in that position get threats all the time. The president
and women in that position.
And women in that position. The president is under a threat right now. The president of Iran just recently stated a day or two ago that President Trump is not going to live more than a few more weeks at the most. He said that, you know. Well, they said a lot of things in the past. But these people know the risks and all that. But having said all that, I believe personally that the incredible pressure that's going to come on Vice President Pence if he does his constitutional duty and President Trump becomes president for 4 more years is just, it is hard to imagine one man living under that kind of pressure. And that's why we need to pray for him. We pray that God would uphold him and give him the strength and the peace of mind to do it. And I'm comfortable knowing his faith as a Christian, his faith and his confidence in his Lord, that I believe that he's looking to God for strength. But the Bible does tell us we're to pray for those in authority. And I think that I would urge people to pray for Vice President Pence this week, and especially on Wednesday and the days afterwards.
I know we will be praying for him, for sure.
Yes, I think Beverly had something back there she wanted to throw in here.
If you share this with the audience, every court could say they don't have standing, but Vice President Pence cannot state that he doesn't have standing.
Can you repeat that?
Yeah, but although the courts have all said that the plaintiffs in those cases did not have standing to sue, Vice President Pence can declare that he himself does have standing,
mm-hmm.
and he wouldn't have to even say it explicitly, but if that he says, "I've considered the evidence, I have standing to do that myself."
Yes,
it's a big burden. For him.
Yes, it's a very heavy weight, and it's going to be on him, his shoulders, his wife's shoulders, and we need to pray for them. Now, I was going to ask, too, and this is probably another thing as an attorney, and this is one of the reasons I wanted you to come in, because you're one of those attorneys that I know and I can trust and I can ask questions, and you're not going to say, that'll be
$50. I'm not?
Wait a minute. Kim, hide the check.
The meter running?
But we got about 4 minutes. But I was going to say, we were talking about his role. Now, is it possible that they could file a suit and challenge his decision afterwards?
Anybody can file a lawsuit. So who would file the lawsuit? The reason over the years that the courts have been very reluctant to get into these things is they feel that these are political issues. They're not for a court to decide. The judiciary should stay out of it. Almost invariably, the Supreme Court feels that way. Now, for them to take something afterwards to say that Vice President Pence acted in an unconstitutional manner, I don't know who would... I mean, electors have filed lawsuits so far, and they don't have standing. So mm-hmm. I don't see that there's any possible plaintiff who would have standing if the Supreme Court hasn't taken any of these other cases.
And then, of course, on January 20th, President Trump raises his hand, takes an oath of office,
then Joe Biden may be also taking an oath in office from the Deputy Assistant Clerk of Courts in his basement.
Well, that may be the case as well.
I've been picturing that.
You know, whatever the case is, whether nothing happens noteworthy this week and Joe Biden is certified as president-elect and takes the oath of office on the 20th, whether Vice President Pence in his constitutional role as president of the Senate goes through the thing and discounts some of those or does not count, I should say, some of these states where the election is in question and President Trump is declared the winner and he takes the oath of office. One of these things is we're still going to be here. We've still got work to do. We still got the things to talk about, and we're Americans,
and we need to clean up our elections. We need to get into our county boards of elections.
Yes.
We need to get this done. Everybody says, and they may be right, that there will never be a free and fair election if this one is lost.
Yes,
and it's possible, but we need to get in there and try to fix it because 2 years from now, there's going to be a midterm election.
Yes.
And we have to make sure that isn't stolen also.
Right. And I know we only got a minute left. We don't have time to talk about this at all. We did not touch on the issue of President Trump declaring martial law or any other things there. And there's a lot of things that could happen. And like I said, this whole week, we may come and go and it'd be a yawn. But we may be facing a week from today a country that's looking a lot different than it is tonight.
No matter what happens, it won't be a yawn.
I agree with that.
One
I think that's
the
least likely thing. And I am just hoping that a week from today, we're not going to be under martial law. We will know who the president is, and we will have a clear set path for the next 4 years. And Michael Goldstein, I want to thank you for being on the air with us tonight, sharing some of your expertise and insight, and your wife Beverly being with us here tonight, and my wife Kim being here giving
our lovely
us moral
wives.
Support.
Our lovely wives.
Yes, they're giving us moral support, you know, and they say behind every man, you know, stands a good woman, but they're alongside of us.
Well, when she ran for Congress, I was the man behind the woman.
There you
the
go.
Good woman.
Yes, so. And we appreciate what she did. And, well, we're out
and
of time.
And I want to thank you for getting the word out.
Oh,
Pastor
thank
Al.
You. And we just wanted to do that. We got about 20 seconds to go. Thanks for listening tonight. Join us on our Friday program. We'll be talking about more of these things. And again, next week, Lord willing, we'll still have the freedom that we enjoy tonight. God bless. Have a great week. Keep in prayer this week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com.